Hello, my name is Ray Jefferson, and you're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU-FM. This program is a new partnership between KWBU and Creative Waco, where we sit down with creative leaders and innovators and take you into the world of arts and culture in our city. Today, we'll be starting the program off with Fiona Bond, the Executive Director of Creative Waco. She's my colleague and a powerhouse for the arts in Waco, and we're here to talk about what we do at Creative Waco and what's going on in the arts at this time. Fiona, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for inviting me. I'm excited about this program.
Yes, I am too. So to start things off, I kind of wanted to talk about what we do at Creative Waco. We work together every single day, we're powering through growing and supporting the arts in Waco. So what does that look like for you as our director on a daily basis?
Well, I would say a lot of what we do is pretty hidden. We have a number of goals in terms of trying to grow Waco as a cultural hub. And that means things like trying to grow and support successful, sustainable arts organizations. It means developing a hub of cultural activity in downtown Waco. And it also means engaging the creative sector in things like revitalization, entrepreneurship, education, economic development. So a lot of what we do is about trying to build resources and background and strategy for making those things happen.
Sure. I definitely would have to agree with that. I think that a lot of times whenever I speak to people, they have maybe heard of us or have seen our logo as we've had our hands in various creative projects in the city. But a lot of times I think people are kind of confused about what an arts council actually does. So you're not from here. Why do you have such an interest in the arts in Waco?
I jokingly say sometimes that I'm from very far east Waco, east Texas.
Yes.
I am obviously from the UK, which most people can pick up on from my accent. Mm-hmm. And we came here about 7 years ago. My husband teaches at Baylor. But the longer version of that story is that we came to Waco right after I had worked in developing the city of Dundee in Scotland as a cultural hub in Scotland. And Dundee went from what we affectionately call the cultural armpit of Scotland to it's now a UNESCO designated city of design. And that process completely changed the trajectory of that city. It went from a city that was hemorrhaging talent and that people really did not identify with either innovation or design or new business startups, to a place where every young person that was going through the university thought was a realistic place mm-hmm. to think of for their future. And so it went from hemorrhaging population to growing population. It went from declining businesses to growing businesses, and not just in the arts. Mm-hmm. What that process taught me was that the investment in cultural infrastructure, developing a place as a cultural hub, can really transform the way people think about a city. And I had seen that. Dundee was not the first city that I had seen that happen to. But because I was so much part of that process, it kind of taught me the anatomy of how that happens. And long story short, when I first came to Waco, I really saw a city that had very similar opportunities, but was actually in a better starting place. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's a much more can-do attitude in many ways North America. And certainly, we have the vestiges of the Wild West here in Waco. People really do believe that, you can make a fresh start, you can do new things, you can be innovative. And I really saw how this was a place where if we had the privilege of being invited to live and work here, that was something that I would really enjoy getting involved in.
Yeah, that's awesome. So since you've come to Waco, how have you seen the creative community change?
Oh my goodness. So in every way imaginable, I think, I would be the mm-hmm. short answer to that. I remember when I first arrived here, and I was fortunate enough to be invited to participate in some of the things that the Greater Waco Chamber was doing, mm-hmm. Beginning to pull together the arts and cultural community. And I remember hearing from a number of people at that early stage, you know, we have to be really careful that we don't program more than one event on a single evening, because mm-hmm. it will just there aren't enough people to make up an audience to go around more than one event. And now I look at the number of things that will go on a typical Friday night, every single Friday mm-hmm. of the year, or pretty much you know, every week of the year, we have dozens of cultural activities going on, and they're all full. They are all doing really well. That audience was there. It just, people didn't know that there was a plethora of things to do here in Waco.
Sure.
And that really delights me, just to see how much people who have always lived and worked in Waco are re-embracing the just the cultural offerings that are here in this city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I think that's really funny, especially for us. At Creative Waco, we make an effort to attend as many artistic events as we can throughout the year, but it can be really tough on a weekend when we have five different events to go to.
Used to be able to go to everything, and now we have to pick and choose mm-hmm. because there's so much, and that's a good problem to have.
Definitely, definitely. So I would love to talk about, you know, how we actually assist artists that are here in Waco. Because, you know, I think in a lot of cities, especially smaller cities, it can be kind mm-hmm. of tough for them to find support that they need to be able to make a living and to do what they love doing. So can you talk about that?
Absolutely. And the goal of what we do with artists and with arts organizations is we want them to feel supported. Mm-hmm. We want them to feel that Waco is a viable place for them to live and make a living and make a life, not just scrabble together a living, but sure. actually have good quality of life as creative professionals. Mm-hmm. And so all the things that we offer in terms of supporting artists and arts organizations are geared towards that goal. The first thing I'd say is that we offer funding, and we offer funding towards innovation and high impact in new artistic and cultural developments that are coming from arts organizations. And a lot, you know, typically what an arts council will do is support arts organizations as opposed to individual artists, although the two go very closely hand in hand mm-hmm. because arts organizations are hiring artists.
Sure.
So we try to support things that are going to in turn be opportunities for individual artists to be able to do what they do. So we have a new program for funding arts organizations who are doing innovative and high impact things. It's called the Arts Match Program, mm-hmm. and people can find it on our website, of
yes.
course, www.creativewaco.org / and then AMP program, Arts Match program, but you can find it on the menu. And the AMP program is an opportunity for really projects or experiments or innovations mm-hmm. that are going to make a real difference, or that are bringing in a new aspect of programming, to get some very early stage support.
Sure. What are some of the most recent projects that we have funded?
Oh, that's a great question. Let's give some examples.
Yes.
So a brand new film festival, which yes. launched last year, mm-hmm. was incredibly successful. They had twice the audience that they expected for a brand new film festival. And they had filmmakers come from as far afield as France. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the things that I loved about that film festival. It hit the mark on so many levels. But one of the things that I think they did spectacularly well was they had a large number of people come who had never been to a film festival before. Mm-hmm. That's a brand new audience being yeah. developed right there. And they also brought in a lot of people who stayed in Waco for the entire spread of the festival, which was 3 days. Mm-hmm. So they were bringing people to Waco who wouldn't otherwise have been coming. We've had brand new dance productions with a newly established nonprofit dance company run by Brooke Schlechte, Out on a Limb Dance, who have been running classes for some time but hadn't established as a nonprofit mm-hmm. actual dance and performance company before. And they had their first big performance as an AMP project. Youth Chorus of Central Texas has relocated downtown, and we were able to help them do that.
Yeah.
Currently, we have we recently had a project which brought arts educators in photography from all over the southern United States to Waco for an exhibition and a conference, which turned out to be a really influential conference for that discipline. Mm-hmm. There were, it brought together people from all over the world as speakers and then from all over the southern United States as delegates. And there were a lot of breakthrough moments in that conference. It was organized in partnership with the Arts Center of Waco and Baylor and the Southern Photography Educators Organization. And again, you know, these are things that are now happening in Waco that would not have if they hadn't had that kind of seed funding to allow them to happen.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I love that we get to be a part of that. It's really exciting to see those projects go from the proposal phase, you know, into us sitting in a room of all these different leaders in the community deciding, you know, what's the best use of these funds, and then being able to see those things actually, you know, come to fruition later on down the line. So I'm really excited that we have this program.
Absolutely. And one of the other things that I really love about that is it's very participatory in terms of the evaluation process
yes.
of the applications. We have people who represent all different parts of our community mm-hmm. and all different art forms, assessing through a very rigorous process, but also a very lean process in that it's a quick turnaround. And so it gives people the support they need when they need it, in the way they need it, but with a really rigorous process.
Yeah. Awesome. And I would also like, you know, to talk a little bit more about how we're assisting arts organizations specifically, because, you know, the AMP funding is something that is reaching out to artists and organizations at the same time. But what are some things that we do that are specifically for organizations?
Well, we run the Arts Alliance of Waco, mm-hmm. and that's a regular forum for bringing together all the people who do amazing things, planning arts events and arts activities, arts programming in our community. And we also have a professional development program. We've actually partnered the funding that we do for AMP with a new program that we've called AMP Angels, which is really investment in leadership in the arts. We have a number of emerging and young leaders in the arts and cultural sector. And I really think this is, you know, this is where the future is at. For young people to really know that if they want to rise and emerge as leaders in the arts, Waco is a place that's going to support them doing that is hugely significant. And we can partner with the Waco Foundation and our other nonprofit sort of network and infrastructure to make sure they're getting the kind of support that they need in terms of developing organizations, in terms of, you know, good management, good leadership, and then the kind of mentoring they need to really be able to be breakthrough in their arts sector too. So, for example, we're beginning to partner some of those rising leaders with people who are very well known in their discipline nationally or at state level.
Awesome. That's so great. I'm just really excited about all the work that we're doing here together. And also, I love that I get to work with you because you're somebody that is very clearly passionate about what you're doing. You have a great sense of everything that's going on, and it's very encouraging, I think, to myself and to all the other people that we work with on a regular basis as we strive to really support the arts here in Waco. So, Fiona, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure talking to you. you're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU FM, and I am your host, Ray Jefferson. Next up, we have Rebecca Hagman, a woman who is creating space and opportunity for the arts in Waco. She is the director of Cultivate 712, a new art gallery at 712 Austin Avenue in downtown Waco. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Ray.
I'm so excited. I just love all the stuff that you're doing. We at Creative Waco are actually housed in 712 Austin Avenue with all the other artists and residents who are working up there. And so I love to be in such a creative space. Rebecca's incredible. She's just a ball of light and just so fantastic.
Thank you.
So would you start off by telling us a little bit about what brought you to Waco? Because you are not a native.
Not a native. Not from as far away as the UK. But I am from California, and my husband and I moved here just this last 4th of July.
Yeah.
So we haven't been here long, but we've really moved here with the intention of getting involved in community, supporting community. And when we actually met Fiona Bond, we I think it was one of those relationships that was meant to happen. Mm-hmm. We share a lot of passion for seeing people come together and the power of community. And specifically, my husband and I had already had a really strong idea about wanting to create a space that would house opportunity. Mm-hmm. we didn't want it to have an identity of its own as much as to be an effective, flexible space.
Sure.
And when we saw the property at 712 Austin Avenue, mm-hmm. it was – and what Creative Waco had done with it with the 52 pop-up, we knew that this was what we had dreamed of. And talking to Fiona and the building owners, TJ Armoyan and Leanne Armoyan, we slowly realized that we could actually take on a property of this size. It's 8,800 square feet, mm-hmm. And fill it with artists and art organizations and beautiful art, incredible art, and really events. That's my background. So my background is in events and marketing.
Cool.
And so even though I don't have a classical art education, I was really excited to be able to take my life experience in that arena, mm-hmm. and give it a home. There, as working in nonprofits in my previous career, I had had a lot of opportunity to recognize the value of space.
Sure.
There's so many times you want to have a gala or you want to have an exciting meeting where you're inviting people to gain vision alongside you. And the biggest problem is, well, where are we going to get all these people together?
Yeah.
And so it has been a long time dream of mine, imagining, well, if I had had this space, mm-hmm. if I could have provided the place for the gala, or if I could have provided the place for the conference, what would it have entailed? What would be there? What would make it easy? And so seeing that happen on a weekly basis at 712 now is so rewarding. And it's something that we've been dreaming of for a long time. And my husband, similarly, his background is in education, mm-hmm. and performing arts. So he was in A Good Man, Charlie Brown in Long Beach, and loves to perform. He's when you meet him, you know he's a natural born performer.
He's great. He's so great. I love him.
He's great. Talk about, I might be a ball of light, but he's like a ball of energy. He has lots. He's so expressive. I love that about my husband. And so I think he actually brings that to me. He brings that vision for what does it mean to have an educational space. So we have classes upstairs. Sure. What does it mean to have a performing space? I think specifically embracing artists in the midst of what they're bringing, that it is vulnerable. It is something that's valuable just by the very fact that they chose to express it.
Yeah.
And making sure that we're cherishing that in the way that we hang the art, in the way that we provide a stage. Those are kind of the things that inform our intentionality and passions.
Yeah.
So I know I kind of skipped around a bit there.
No, that's fantastic.
I got excited.
I mean, that was perfect because honestly, you know, one mm-hmm. of the reasons why I really wanted to have you on our first program for the year was because I feel like you're doing exactly what so many people are wanting to do in Waco. You know, you've created the space, and I love that idea of space because space is so important,
mm-hmm.
Especially for, you know, the arts. We have to have a central location for people to be able to gather and to know where to go for the art if they want that.
So true.
And I feel like Waco, downtown Waco specifically, has been missing that for a while. But I love that you are doing so much because you are really kind of just pulling together all these different elements that we would love to see for our creative community here. So I'm so excited about Cultivate and everything that's going on there. So would you kind of talk a little bit about why you were drawn to Waco specifically? Because you mentioned that you guys were looking at different places and trying to figure out where best to kind of utilize your talents and your resources.
Yeah, well, I sound like a history nerd, but I'm going to tell you that, or maybe I sound like an uninformed history nerd. I read on Wikipedia as we were researching different cities about how McLennan, you know, he had the ingenuity of initiating the bridge being built across the Brazos. But then they asked him if he wanted to name the town after himself. And he said, nope, let's name it after the people who were here before us.
Yeah.
And something about that captured my heart. The idea that the founders of the city would have been forward-thinking enough, but also respect the past enough to name the city after the people who'd been there first.
Sure, that's beautiful.
And, and I really believe in legacy. I believe in what we plant. And I think that's what I love about, about what we're doing, what's come before us, even in the building, is that there's that what we plant matters, what has come before us matters. Mm-hmm. And just like, you know, there's so many beautiful trees all around Waco. Mm-hmm. And I love seeing like a tree, a big, beautiful oak, like on the lawn of a home, and thinking when the owner planted that tree, they didn't know if they were going to actually get to enjoy the shade of that. But there's so many homes around Waco where those trees are like the keystone of a property.
Sure.
You could drive through these charming neighborhoods and there's a beautiful arbor. And I just think that's really alive in Waco, that people – that there's a legacy here of people looking to the future and being willing to make a sacrifice today for something they may not get to see but that they believe in. And I think that's what's fueled that voice that we hear a lot, again and again, people saying like, well, I was going to leave but then I stayed, or
yeah,
I came just for school and couldn't get out. But
that's me.
and I that's so rare. I grew up in Colorado Springs, which is a tourist town. Mm-hmm. I've lived in Mammoth, which is a tourist town, Mammoth Lakes in California. And then, of course, living in Southern California, I've lived in lots of places where people move because they're beautiful or because they have appeal that way. And I've seen how community can't quite form the same way when you have that transient population who comes in all excited,
yeah,
because they finally made it to Los Angeles, but then has to go as soon as they have babies.
Mm-hmm.
And Waco's the opposite. It's a place where it's a little unexpected. Maybe you didn't move here for the mountains. You definitely didn't move here for the mountains. And you didn't move here for the ocean. But you come, you fall in love, and then you really stay. Mm-hmm. And that's what my husband and I were looking for. It was a place where we could plant roots and really enjoy community long term.
Sure.
And believe it or not, for those who haven't lived in Southern California, that's pretty impossible to do.
Really?
There. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. Waco is a very special place. It really is.
It really is.
So, you know, 712 is obviously a huge part of that is the gallery that's downstairs.
Yes.
You guys do a monthly exhibition. You change it out every month and put out a new call to artists. So that way you guys have fresh work on rotation, which is fantastic. But it's more than just a gallery.
Yes.
As you said, it's a space, you know, for the arts. Can you talk a little bit about what all goes on beyond just the gallery?
Sure. I think there's two levels. There's just the factual, here's what we have. We have a retail space in the front where mm-hmm. we sell our artists' work in prints, some artisan goods, wood, woodworking, and ceramics.
Yeah, really beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Yes, and we're very proud that all that is made here in Waco by people who live in Waco. I think that's so exciting. Then we do have our gallery space, and that is, again, everything is for sale there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a more traditional showing of art, fine art. And that is an exceptional opportunity that I really am passionate about in terms of showcasing Waco artists' work as fine art and really clarifying the value, giving it the space on the wall it needs
mm-hmm.
so that someone standing in front of it can really take in all the beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important to me. And then upstairs, we have artist lofts. So we have like 10 by 10 spaces that the artists can rent and work in, and also office space. Mm-hmm. And that's where Creative Waco is.
Yes.
Which I love. And then we have a classroom space. And that space houses yoga twice a week, three times a week in the new year. And then it also houses figure drawing, brush lettering. We're hoping to do maybe some sculpture in the new year. And we're excited to introduce crafts and cocktails on Wednesdays.
Awesome. That sounds so fun.
Yeah. So it's a very dynamic and living space. And I think that's why, you know, what happens inside the building is so much more important than who we are.
Yeah.
One of the things we talk about is that our commitment is to being a beautiful, flexible, accessible space. And so everything about our identity as Cultivate 712 is really to empty ourselves. We don't need to have, it's not a curated retail with our logo on things. It all has the artist logo. It's not my class that I dictated in the classroom for yoga. It's a yoga teacher who actually came in with her own passion to actually teach and share.
Yeah.
And so we're about celebrating the identities of those people who come in and really making sure that they're getting visible,
mm-hmm.
visibility and seen and experienced, and they're getting the chance. Because I remember just my entire young life, I've always been entrepreneurial, thinking if someone just gave me the space,
yeah.
if someone would just give me that table set up, I could sell like the best cupcakes or the best books or, you know, just my imagination was always so sparked by that idea. And so I think that's where my passion for giving the space over really comes from, is I believe that people can do so much when given the opportunity.
Cool. Awesome. That's so exciting. I love that. So, Rebecca, you're doing some really great things for the creative community in Waco, and this is such an exciting venture that you're working on. But what are some of the challenges that have come up in this type of work?
You know, I think the best way to talk about it is that we've done things backwards. We, because we came from the Waco 52 pop-up and we wanted to keep that momentum going, there's been a few components of our identity that have just emerged over time.
Sure.
Instead of us announcing them at one moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what it means to really announce who we are to the community has evolved instead of had like a single moment. And as we've crafted our mission statement, it's really that we're an access point and nexus for the arts in Waco to be on display and accessible for potential patrons.
Sure.
and for the cultural community and for the community at large. And because that mission isn't the same as saying our mission is to sell art or our mission is to host events.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things we want to do. Those are the functional components of who we want to be. There's just some challenges there of getting people to know us. And so we want to be known as a place where you can learn about your own community and experience the excellence of your own community's cultural arts in a specific location. And so what that creates is a need for us to say again and again, it's not us you need to come and visit. Don't come to Cultivate 712 to be at Cultivate 712.
Mm-hmm.
Come because you're going to have an incredible experience of the cultural arts here in Waco. And that is our brand. And that's always changing. Because
sure.
Whether it's music or art or classes or a conference, that's constantly changing and it has its own brand. And so we're trying to walk that fine line of saying, you're going to consistently have a great experience here,
mm-hmm.
but that experience, the content of that experience is going to change.
Sure.
And so we like to drive people to our website. That's a great way. That's something we've really been working hard on, is having a website that's accessible, that has all of our events and all of our classes. And then also that's part of why we are committed to our hours, being there from 11 to 7:30 Tuesday, 11 to 7:30 p.m., Tuesday through Fridays, and then Saturdays 10 to 5, is we want people to feel like they can walk in after the farmer's market on a Saturday and really get to know who we are, because it's something you have to kind of see to understand.
Sure. Awesome. Well, we are so excited about the space that you have created. Can you go ahead and tell us that website?
Yes, absolutely. I can tell you about our website. It's www.cultivate712.com. And I can also tell you a quick teaser of some of the events we have coming up.
Sure.
We're doing farm-to-table dinners, which are very exciting. We're doing we do yoga classes Tuesdays and Thursdays. We do figure drawing every Tuesday. We have every first Friday, we have our new exhibit debut. And again, all those details are at cultivate712. That's 712.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rebecca. That's all the time that we have for today. Rebecca, thank you so much for being here and sharing the incredible work that you're doing for our creative community. For more information on Rebecca and Cultivate 712, visit their website or check out creativewaco.org/blog. We'll be posting up a write-up of the interview as well as really important links that we think that you should have access to. This conversation will be posted on kwbu.org, so be sure to share that with your friends and family if you love it on social media. You can catch the next episode of Conversations with Creative Waco on Friday, February 23rd. I look forward in the future to introducing you to some of the remarkable and sometimes hidden people who are changing Waco's cultural landscape. KWVU and Creative Waco really wonder for this to be an opportunity to share the important work that's happening for our creative community here. This has been Conversations with Creative Waco on KWVU FM. I'm your host, Ray Jefferson. Thank you for listening in.